So let's talk to the radio voice of the Phoenix Suns. As Portland is down in Phoenix tonight for the play-in 7-8 matchup. Winner gets the 7 seed. The loser has to play again for their playoff lives on Friday. John Bloom is our guest at John Bloom on Twitter. You go give him a follow there. John, good morning to you. Longtime radio voice of the Suns. And nice to know that we kind of confuse our time differences are way off. And what does Arizona do? What time are we? So we're glad we got this all squared away. I do want to ask you about the game tonight, but I need to ask first because my co-host just pointed out to me, you got to call the Masters for 12 years. Explain and how cool of an experience was that?
Oh, well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. The Masters is everything that you have heard about, I'm sure. I'm not going to be the first one to tell you about the Augusta National Golf Club. But for me, I was involved in golf broadcasting for a long time. And when I started working for CBS, that was the goal. I got to get to Augusta. And I think it was year two. Actually, year one, they told me, well, someone's got to die is how you're going to get there.
Wow, that's a little morbid.
Yeah, I don't want to, root for that to happen. But, if it does, I'll take the spot, right? And then I get the call. And it wasn't on air. So I've always been an on-air guy, mostly radio, but I've done TV too. And this was a situation where, like, I'm going to go be a part of the crew. I don't care what they have me. I'll clean the latrine. I don't care what they have me do. I will do whatever they tell me to do if it takes me to Augusta for the week of the Masters. So, yeah, I did 12 years of that behind the scenes. It was awesome. I was also starting a golf business at the time, so it made a lot of sense for me to kind of take a week off from the NBA gig and go out there and do that. But now it's the voice of the Suns. And actually, during those years, while I was in Augusta, there was a lot of soul searching. And I was thinking, someday I hope, this is probably after the first four or five when the novelty had worn off, I'm like, someday I hope my job with the Suns keeps me from coming here. And eventually I was able to get the full-time play-by-play job, and now I'm where I've always dreamed of being. So that's how that all played out.
So did you ever get any kind of hitting the actual golf ball at the range or on the course experience one time in the 12 years? Did you ever have that one moment?
I still haven't played the course. It's a great question. I am definitely honing in on finding a way to get there and do it because I do have some friends who are still in it. I'm hopeful that that happens. It hasn't happened yet. I've always said in my back of my mind, like, I want to have my game at that tip-top shape when I do finally make it there to play, having covered so many Masters and walked up and down those fairways so many times. I have so many great stories, but none of them include me playing, which is probably a good thing because I would probably ruin it with my horrible temper on the golf course.
Hey, I love these stories, man. This is fun. John Bloom, radio voice of the Suns. He's getting ready to call a play-in game tonight as our Portland Trailblazers are down there for the 7-8 matchup. I'm curious, John, like, looking from afar at Phoenix the last handful of years, we see a team who got really close, got to an NBA Finals. You get an ownership change, this injection of let's be aggressive, and you bring some big name players in. It doesn't quite work out. There's been some up in our neck of the woods going back the last calendar year that have kind of poked fun at Phoenix of like, Ishbia doesn't know what he's doing. Look at that. They're going to be a disaster this year, and here they are better than us in terms of wins and losses. We'll see how the game plays out tonight. I'm just curious, though, based on the last handful of years, because Phoenix has gotten a taste of greatness, and they've been close to, getting over the mountaintop. Where's the excitement level for this team, and where's the city at for tonight's game? Is it a much ado about nothing? Is it, hey, this was a positive surprise, let's get in on it? Like, I'm just curious where the city's at for the matchup tonight.
That's a great question. And actually, it has been a wild ride because I think, let's just start when Matt Ishbia takes over the team, they go get Kevin Durant, and they're trying to kind of, pick up where the Suns took them to the finals in 21. It just didn't work. Obviously, basketball is a team sport. I think you guys know that very well and have a great fan base up there in Portland. Always love going there for hoops games because people just know the game. And there are certain areas of this country where that's the case. And I think that, Phoenix fits in that too because the Suns are the number one franchise still in this city. Yes, we have a football team. They've been miserable, probably don't deserve to be in the NFL anymore, but they still are. We've got a baseball team. It's been up and down. And yet it's the basketball team that's number one here. So riding that wave of bringing in a star like Kevin Durant and failing the way that they did, and I'm going to just come out and say it was a failure the last couple of years. But I would say that Matt Ishbia, much like if you've got kids, you know that the best way they're going to learn is through failure. And he did learn that that was not the way to build the team. So what did they do? They kind of went back to the roots of it and said, who's the guy we're building around? It's Devin Booker. That's the guy this city absolutely adores. There's a lot of reasons for that. We can get into that another time. But the bottom line is Devin Booker means a lot more to Phoenix than he does, let's say, to other NBA cities. They just don't realize what he's done here in the Valley, being in his 11th season here. We've watched him grow up. He was the youngest player in the league when they drafted him in 2015. He was, you know, just barely 18 years old. And so he just is a fabric of this city now. And so when you build around him and you put the right guys around him and you get a coach that he endorses, now he's fully bought in and everybody else in that room bought in. And that was probably the biggest surprise for me, guys, is because Jordan Knott came here without much of a pedigree. He was a longtime assistant coach. They did an exhaustive search with a number of names that would be household names as far as potential coaches after just firing two guys that won championships in Frank Vogel and Mike Budenholzer. So now they get this guy in Jordan Knott, and everybody's wondering what's going to happen in Phoenix, and all the expectations were low. So if Vegas is saying you're going to win 30 games, most of your fan base is going to jump on that and say, wow, we're going to be garbage this season. But they weren't, and they weren't from the start, mm-hmm. and they played hard, and they engaged the fan base in a way that basketball teams do, unlike any other sporting team, I think, in because you just attach yourself. You see them, their entire selves on the floor, right? When you're at a game, you get up close and you see how enormous these dudes are. But at the same time, you see the game in a different way than you do when you go to a football game or a baseball game or a hockey game. So the way this team has captured this town is special, and I think you'll feel it tonight. And look, they've been the seventh seed all season. You'd stay there so that you get the opportunity to host a game like this, right? It means something to be the home team for a one game means all type situation. Now, it doesn't mean all, because if Portland loses, you get that home game. And that's why the Blazers moving to eighth is so meaningful, right? Because they can host that game and have a chance to bring their fans into this and win that eighth spot and go take on the Oklahoma City Thunder and potentially shock the world. That's what I'm hoping happens so that the Suns handle their business tonight, because I know neither team wants to go to Oklahoma City, especially on a short clock, right? I mean, look what the NBA is doing to them. You play Friday night, and then you got an early game at OKC on Sunday. So, yeah, the better alternative by far for the Suns is win tonight, but they know it's not going to be easy. Yeah.
Kind of a two-parter for you. Like, how truly depressing was it to be around that team last year? Because it felt like from up here, the national narrative was nailing it of just this team hates it, you know, each other. It's not good. They had to move on from Kevin Durant. They make the trade. And I'm really curious to get your thoughts on how difficult the beginning was to have to root for Dylan Brooks. And then now how easy they love Dylan the villain now that he's had the season he's had.
Exactly. You guys know as well as anybody about that guy's trajectory in his career. And I know it started in college, but in this situation, you know, the Suns needed such a dramatic shift when they made the trade. And that was as dramatic as you could get. That's actually, you know, you're talking about Dylan Brooks, and I know I'm skipping past the first question, and you're going to have to remind me what it is because I'm already on this train. but, you know, he is such a polarizing character. And yet, as you said, when you have him in your gym wearing your uni, you love the dude. And there's so many reasons why. And so that has happened here in Phoenix. Now, him missing a lot of the games is a reason why I think the Suns ended up seventh and not higher. They could have been in that mix for 3-6 that was jumbled up for so many months. But, you know, there were a lot of injury factors for this team. And the good news for the Suns now is that they are probably as healthy as they've been all season. And that's the time you want to be that when you're getting ready for when it really matters most. Remind me what the first question was.
Just how truly depressing it was to be around the Kevin Durant era Suns at the end.
There's a reason I ignored that. There's a reason I skipped right past that. I tried blacking it out. It was that brutal. I mean, honestly, last year was miserable. And it wasn't that the guys hated each other, to be honest with you. Players did not hate each other at all.
They were just kind of
indifferent. They were indifferent. They never came together as a team. The coach was an absolute disaster. I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all.
Yeah.
They just hired the wrong coach. He turned everybody off. It was bizarre because he was a guy that was beloved in this area. He's a native son of Arizona, and he won a title against the Suns, right, in 2021 with the Bucks. And then they bring him here, and he just absolutely turned everybody off, including the team. It was bizarre. And then he got sent packing. So, you know, that's the way I guess it goes. But it was a 36-win team that, honestly, I believe you, the three of us could have, like, gone on a bender, set up a program, and won 36 games with that team, you know, as coaches. We could just we could have done that, but we didn't. And we lived through it. And, again, it was a failure of massive proportion for this team. But they have bounced back in a way I don't think anybody expected.
Well, it's one of those things, too, I think, as a fan or somebody who's covering the team and all, you know, obviously working and calling games. Like, if you're going to make a mistake, the only thing you can ask is that you pivot out of it quickly. And they clearly were like,
did.
All right, that didn't work. Let's scrap it. And here they are back. And I, you know, it reminds me, we had a year years ago in Portland where everybody left in free agency. LaMarcus Aldridge left, and it was like, oh my God, we're screwed. And then Wes Matthews left, and Nick Batum, and all these guys. It was like Lillard was the only one left. And the next year, they became kind of this fun, up and coming, feisty, play hard every night team, and they made the playoffs. And so, you talking about this year's Suns team kind of reminds me of that Blazers team from a handful of years back. I'm curious. We know how special Devin Booker is. He's played in big games in his career. You know, last game of the year for him against Dallas, he goes for 37, you know, on 13 and 27 from the floor in 37 minutes. What are we expecting from him tonight, and how big of an impact on the game do you think he'll have? Because I know Portland defensively would throw the kitchen sink at him.
And you have very effective kitchen sinks to throw at him. I mean, I'm not even going to call Tumani and Drew kitchen sinks. I'm going to call them Booker stoppers, because both those guys have showed that they can do it. And that is part of the reason why this matchup's daunting, I think, for a lot of Suns fans and you know, people that are looking at it saying, well, yeah, Portland definitely has an opportunity here tonight to come in and steal the seventh seed. Where I think that Devin Booker will rise to the occasion is just based on history and seeing what he's done when it really matters. And he doesn't need to put this team on his shoulders. I don't think that that's necessary the way this team is built. You know, there's been times where he's been off and other guys have picked him up. Maybe it's been a Dylan Brooks who's had his best offensive performance of his career this season. Jalen Green's come in the second half of the season after missing most of the year with the hamstring, and he has had some big moments. And I think Devin Booker has built trust in those guys in addition to the guys he's already had trust in, like Grayson Allen. Don't know whether he's going to go tonight because he's the one question mark. Royce O'Neal, who's been a great three-point shooter again and a phenomenal kind of veteran for this team. They call him Unk. He's the one old guy who, what, 32 years old. He's old. But that's what this team is. That's how they're built. And I know that you have a similar situation there. But Devin Booker is going to be the guy. He's going to be the one to set the tone in his own way. Obviously, this is his team. And yet, at the same time as I say that, I think there's a lot of eyes on Dylan Brooks and what he does to affect the game, because he still is that guy, that tone setter, in a totally different way.
You have no idea what you accidentally just did, John. We kicked off our show, and my co-host said 34 is old, and we'd put a poll question up, and then you said Unk is 32 and he's old. And
you just proved my entire argument, John.
You just proved his entire argument.
You're my favorite. I think we're going to go play Augusta together now, me and you, buddy.
Let's get it. Let's get you out of here on this, because we appreciate you waking up early and doing this. We know you got a lot to get to today. You teased it, and I know you don't always want to give us the tea leaves of what's happening in the inner workings of the Suns, so let's get away from the organization you work for. What's the juiciest fun story you have from your time at Augusta?
Ooh, wow. I'm going to go with, okay, this is my favorite because it was my first, and it was 2005, and it's a moment I think we all remember. So Tiger Woods is hitting the chip on 16, okay? Do I need to say more than that?
Nope.
Okay, you guys know what shot I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's over the green. Yeah, there's no chance, right? He's not going to get it up and down. And he makes that Nike ball sit on the edge and then drop in. And it's just a legendary golf moment. Well, I'm in the truck with Dick Enberg, the legendary Dick Enberg, who at the time, his whole job with CBS was writing the essay, the video essay that you would see at the end of the tournament. That would basically, it's almost like one shining moment at the end of the NCAA tournament, right? Except it was Dick Enberg writing it and voicing it. And it happened, I don't know how many years he did this for CBS, but this was one of them, and it happened to be my first year there, and it happened to be one of the most epic moments in the history of golf. And I'm in the truck, and everybody is riding, you know, everybody's ready for the tournament to end one way. Tiger hits that shot, and everything changed. So now Dick has to rewrite his whole essay. And I just happen to be sitting near him as a rookie, and he's bouncing ideas off of me. And I'm sitting there going, is this really happening? Am I really here right now? This was all this was all the most kind of surreal moment that I had at Augusta, and it wasn't even on the grounds. It was in the darn truck in the compound.
Wow.
But it was amazing, and we all were watching together, and we were all taking this in together, and then you see the guys in the booth react the way they do the Jim Nantz, and at that point it was I'm totally
I think it was Vern Lundquist on the call of it, wasn't it?
Vern was at 16, yeah. Without a doubt.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
In your life.
In your life.
In your life.
Yeah, but, yeah. No, I think to me that'll be the memory that I take with me forever, just because of all the different elements that went into it. But, yeah, it was fascinating. I mean, the response from that truck, and I'm going to guess there were maybe a dozen people, and they're all working and normally never making a noise other than saying exact, like, directions on what to do. If you've ever been like involved in a golf broadcast, it is the most intricate, ridiculous event to try to broadcast when there's that many balls in the air at the same time, so many guys playing all at once, and you've got to direct it and produce it in a certain fashion so that the viewers know what the heck's going on. It's not easy. And so all that's happening, and Tiger hits that shot, and that truck nearly exploded with how loud it was in there. I mean, just everybody's response to a shot like that. And so I remember all that, and I remember the Dick Enberg thing like it was yesterday, and I will not forget that.
John has immediately risen up the leaderboard of favored guests that we've had. Best friend of the program. Great Augusta stories.
Beautiful.
Kitchen sink talk. This needs to become a permanent thing.
It's too bad we have to root against him.
We have to root against you tonight, but then, you know, we're not rooting for you to die.
The same way.
But if it happens, it's all right. John Bloom, at John Bloom on Twitter. Suns Radio Voice. Have a great call tonight, John. Thank you for the great stories, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Well, thank you for having me, and I just want to say to all the Blazers fans out there, you guys have one of the best. Travis Demers is one of my favorites, play-by-play voice in the league, and you guys got a quality dude there.
Yeah, appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Thanks, John. Enjoy the game tonight.
Take it easy.